What's shaking, Red Nation? It is Jeremy Brenner here with another episode of The Dream Take, presented by The Dream Shake, home of all things Houston Rockets on SBNation.com. And it is officially free agency, y'all. It is 5 p.m. here in the beautiful city of Houston, Texas, and we are already kicking this off with a bang. Lonzo Ball agrees to a 4-year $85 million contract with the Chicago Bulls on an offer sheet. He is a restricted free agent, so the Pelicans will have the opportunity to max. They're all coming in right here. Will Barton, 2 years, $32 million with the Nuggets. So we'll also talk about what's going on in the NBA. We'll talk about what's going on with the Rockets, and I can't do this all by myself, so I've got my co-pilot, Mr. Michael Brown. Mike, Lonzo Ball's gone. Will Barton's gone. We're only a minute into the show. What's going on, man? Lonzo is 4 years, $85 million to Chicago, but I believe he is a restricted free agent, so the Pelicans will have a chance to match. $485 is about, I guess, $22.5 a year. That's like my quick math. That's probably not right, but another one.
No, that's 20.2. Yeah, somewhere around
there. You're the one with the math in our pairing, but, another deal, we've got two more deals up here. Tim Hardaway is staying with the Dallas Mavericks and Mike Conley is staying with the Utah Jazz. $472 with the Mavs right there, and Mike Conley is already, I cannot believe, I should have remembered how hectic free agency really is, but Mike Conley is going back to the Jazz, 3 years, $68 million. Boban Marjanovic is back with the Mavericks. I'm just reading these as it goes. I'm waiting for the words Houston Rockets, though, to pop up. So, Mike, Houston Rockets, what are you looking forward to in this free agency? What do the Rockets need? Who is on the top of your wish list?
Man, that's the $1 million, I guess, maybe the $80 million question. I had Tim Hardaway on my list because I would have loved for him to have become a Rocket. I thought he would have been a really nice fit for what the Rockets need on the offensive end of the court. So that name's gone. I mean, to start at the top of the list, I mean, can John Collins be had from Atlanta? That's a guy that you and I have been in love with for a while, and he's a guy that I would throw an offer sheet at. I would break the bank for John Collins if I was the Houston Rockets, because he just makes you that much better. I mean, I think he instantly takes you from a borderline bubble team to a playoff team. I don't think Atlanta's going to lose John Collins, but that wouldn't stop me from making him an offer sheet. And the second guy that's at the top of my list is Jared Allen from Cleveland. Jared Allen is not going to return to the Cleveland Cavaliers after them drafting Evan Mobley. So those are the two guys that I look to, even though the Rockets drafted Sengun and Garuba in the draft. Those are the guys that would be at the top of my wish list to start the conversation off. I have multiple other guys that I'd like to get to, but those are the top two.
Well, we talked about that. We've hyped up John Collins, you know, over the course of the season, but that was before the unexpected playoff run that the Hawks had, and they really are kind of in a position where they kind of have to re-sign John Collins. You know, we saw this from a mile away about how valuable John Collins was, and he's going to get a bag in free agency, probably from another team, and whether the Hawks choose to match or not is different.
Have breaking news. The Rockets have gotten Daniel Theis.
Daniel Theis?
Theis, yes.
Who says that?
Going off of good friend of the show, Nima just reported that. 2 minutes into free agency, the Rockets get Theis.
So the Rockets. I have the tweet here from Kelly, and I'm gonna put it in the chat here on Spotify Green Room. We are live here on Spotify Green Room talking about it. So yes, so Kelly Eco from The Athletic just tweeted out about 5 minutes ago that the Rockets are working to complete a multi-year deal with Daniel Theis. So Daniel Theis is someone that's been rumored for the Rockets for a while now, and I mean, when I say a while, I mean a few days, but a few days in the last couple weeks for the NBA has been like years. So yeah, Daniel Tice is looking like he's going to be a rocket, which definitely helps the whole size aspect of the team. Really excited about that signing. I don't know about you, Mike, but I like the idea of adding another center, small ball center, can play the four, can play the five. I think he fits real nice with Christian Wood, and I am looking forward to seeing Daniel Tice in a Rockets uniform next season.
Yeah, he's the perfect addition to this team for what we need. To me, it was either Daniel or Nerlens Noel. Both of those guys have different types of upside, in my opinion. I think Daniel is a guy that can come into this system and impact what you need right away. And you need help on the boards. Last year, he averaged 9.6 points per game, 5.5 rebounds per game. I really like the idea of him and Garuba coming off of the bench, at least the start of the year. I'm intrigued to see what the salary is. But as long as it's not crazy, I like this deal a lot for the Rockets.
I'm curious to see what the terms are to this trade. It's a multi-year deal, and I guess that automatically rules out the idea of Kelly Olynyk returning. So for the Olynyk stands in Red Nation, this is probably the final nail in the coffin. I think the drafting of Şengün, the drafting of Garuba, the writing was on the wall. But if you bring in Daniel Tice as well, that's the writing's on the wall. It's not going to happen, guys. I'm sorry to the Kelly stands. It was fun while it lasted. And honestly, you know, let's just smile at the fact that it happened and not be sad that it's over.
What do you think? I mean, what are your thoughts on adding Daniel compared to bringing back Olynyk at a much higher number? Like, I love this move. If they can also supplement it with some help on the wing, I think we could use. Like, I like this move if this isn't the only move coming, I guess is the best way to put it. But what do you think about comparing the two?
Look, I don't think the Rockets really need to, like, break the bank in this free agency. I really don't. I think they really need to, like, set their focus on guys that are going to be good veterans that aren't necessarily unplayable, but also that aren't necessarily going to get in the way of, you know, playing, you know, with guys that are, you know, that's not going to get in the way of the rookies, right? And also adding Tice, a guy that came in through Europe, is also going to be incredibly important. He's a nice mentor, I think, for our incoming European players with Garuba and Şengün. He's 6'8", so he can play the four. He's played mostly the five in his career. He's played with the Celtics the last 4 years. He started for the Celtics, I believe, during their conference finals run in the bubble. And so he has playoff experience, which I do think helps. Not necessarily saying that the Rockets are going to be in the playoffs this upcoming season, but I do think having a guy that's played in high-profile situations definitely is a positive. And I really can't, you know, Daniel Tice is exactly the kind of player the Rockets need right now. He helps with the rebounding. He helps off the court as well. He's not your best player, but he doesn't have to be. The best players on the team should be the ones that are going to be there when the team is good again. Jayshon Tate, KJ Martin, obviously all the rookies. Those are who they need to play. And Daniel Tice is not going to, oh, you have to play Daniel Tice, like John Wall is. Like, with John Wall, you have to play John Wall. Otherwise, you're getting zero out of him. And you only hurt his trade value at the end of the day.
Yeah, I also think this is a great depth signing, I think, for the Rockets, is all this is.
I think Daniel Tice could start. I don't even think it's necessarily a depth signing. I think there's a chance that Daniel Tice starts game one of the next season.
Yeah, you got to argue. Not you have to argue. You could argue the Rockets haven't done much wrong since the draft. And what I mean by that is a lot of the moves that they've made, they killed it in the draft. I love this signing.
They haven't done anything wrong, in my opinion, since Stone took in charge.
No. Come on, let's not ruin let's not ruin a beautiful, wonderful atmosphere right now with that type.
All right. Well, let's go back to the top. So a couple of free agent signings that have come in the last couple of minutes. Jamichael Green is returning to Denver with a 2-year, $17 million deal. Alec Burks is staying with the Knicks, 3 years, $30 million. And it looks like the Bulls are going to get Lonzo Ball in a sign-and-trade. The sign-and-trade will send Thomas Satoransky, Garrett Temple, and a second-round pick to New Orleans for Lonzo Ball. So Lonzo is going to Chicago. That is totally confirmed. And also, our guy Nerlens Noel, Mike, he's staying in New York, 3 years, $32 million. So that might be a similar kind of, you know, because we've compared Tice to Nerlens Noel. And we've kind of said, okay, that's kind of, so if that's the price range, 3 years, 32, that's a little under 11 a year. Is that ideal for a Daniel Tice? I would think he goes for a little bit cheaper, honestly.
Yeah, that's an overpay by New York, don't you think? That's a lot of money for Nerlens Noel.
Yeah, and Mike, another one of your guys, Jared Allen, 5 years, $100 million staying in Cleveland.
How does that make any sense? Why would
it's Cleveland? It's Cleveland.
No, but that's like,
I mean, do you think Jared Allen is worth $100 million? He's worth 20 a year?
Yeah, I do. But why would you do that if you drafted Mobley? That doesn't make
any, I think they were kind of forced to take Mobley. That's the thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, they were backed into a corner to take Mobley. But if you were going to re-sign Jared Allen the entire time, then take Suggs or take.
But Jalen Suggs didn't fit that team. They needed a big.
If they were going to do that, I would have taken Scottie Barnes.
Well, the thing is this: with this move, the Cavs have proven that they feel that Mobley and Allen can coexist.
That's an awful signing by Cleveland. Good for Jared Allen getting the bag though. But that's an absolutely disastrous proposition.
Yeah.
If you're Cleveland. That's awful.
So we got our man Ace from the H up here, and he's gonna come up on stage and drop his takes. So Ace, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
What's up, Ace?
Yeah, I see how y'all was talking about the Jared Allen thing. Now I wouldn't say he was worth exactly $100 million. That's a little bit of a stretch. Now I'll probably say 80, maybe 85. But I could see that, you know, he's a restricted free agent, and it is Cleveland. You see what I'm saying? It's not like it's a team that sucks, but they're in, like, a market that's kind of decent. I'm not trying to, like, you know, trash Cleveland, but, you know, what did Joakim Noah say? That's all I'm going to say. But, yeah, and I do like this. Because I guess they are saying they can coexist together, and I think it can't work. Because, bro, I've been trying to tell people, Mobley is not a center. That's why I just didn't understand, you know, this Irv Stroud. He's not even a center. He's probably more of a four.
And that's, I think, Cleveland's idea, is that they are also, they view Mobley as a four, and they see Allen as the five. Okay. And that's the only thing that I can possibly think of, is that,
and if you believe his 3-point shot is there, because that's what it really contingents off of, because you don't want to have both of them dudes in there. You planning on doing a 4-out, 1-in type thing, right? Where it's like Jared Allen the only dude in there.
Right? But you also saw what happened in LA when LA tried to go with McGee or Drummond and Davis.
Okay.
All right, y'all. I hate to break this up, but we do have. I hate to break this up, y'all. I'm gonna jump in. Kelly Olynyk is going to the Detroit Pistons. 3 years, $37 million.
That's great.
So the question now is, I mean, can you get an asset out of Kelly Olynyk? I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's just going to be Olynyk just signs there. But because also $12 million a year. I mean, that's not, I mean, that's about right, I would say. Would y'all agree with that?
What did we think? Yeah.
We were saying something like 450 or like.
That's about right. Yeah, that's right on.
No, I think that's right where he's at. I don't really value people. I don't really value Kelly as much as a lot of other, not even just Rockets fans, but fans do.
I think it's interesting how he opted to go for another rebuild. So it's interesting that he chose not to sign with a contender. He went to Detroit. So my thinking is, did the Rockets really offer him better than that? Like, do you think that he got a better offer from the Rockets? Or do you think the Rockets just said, you know what, like, our time here was good. Let's leave it at that and let's go our separate ways.
I think they said it's time to go on because, like, and I'm glad they're doing that because that now gives me security that either Gordon or Wall is going to get traded or maybe both of them somehow end up not on this team by the middle of the season, which is what I'm hoping.
I also have breaking news for both of you. It looks like Kyle Lowry's going to Miami.
Yeah, Kyle Lowry to the Heat. Yeah. All right, Ace, we've got other speaker requests, so any last words that you got for us before I send you back down?
Yes. Really quickly, man, what do y'all think? Do y'all think that, before I just talk about the, before I ask the question about the overall record, what do y'all think every rookie's going to do in their first year? Because I know not everybody's going to be the greatest their first year, but, you know.
Yeah, Jeremy, you want to take that one first?
Look, I think I'll say this. Jalen is going to be top three votes in Rookie of the Year. He should be. Then I think Şengün and Garuba, I hate to say it, it kind of feels like that situation could be a bit of a, like, Donatas Motiejunas, Terrence Jones situation. And I hope it's not that way because those two guys came in basically at the same time and they were always competing for minutes. And I hope that isn't the case, but also they're two very different players. Like Şengün is definitely more of a offensive caliber player. And then obviously Garuba is there for defense. And I think it's going to just come, like, they're going to have to compete for minutes all year long. And I really do think one's going to get unfortunately shafted. And if I had to guess which one was going to get more minutes, I'd probably have to go with Garuba only because I think that he, like, I feel like Şengün and Wood is not as good of a pairing as Garuba and Wood. And I think that Silas prefers defense. So I do think Garuba will be more likely to get NBA minutes. And the thing is, like, with Garuba, he's not there offensively in the NBA, but he can defend in the NBA, you know, yesterday. Like, he is perfectly on par defensively in the NBA. And that's going to be really important for a young team. And honestly, like, if you put Garuba out there with four guys that can shoot the three and you know, consistently shoot very well, you put up KPJ, you put up, you know, KPJ, you get Jalen, you put in, like, Armani Brooks or someone that can shoot the three really well, and then Christian Wood, those are four, you know, plus offensive guys. And then that kind of, that necessarily, what does it do? It kind of takes Garuba and it doesn't expose his weaknesses on offense because you have several players that can do that and, you know, kind of pick up the slack, if you will. And Garuba can pick up the defensive slack of, you know, guys like, you know, Christian Wood, who might not necessarily be as good defensively. So that's kind of my thought on the rookies. We'll definitely be talking a lot more rookies throughout the next couple of weeks with Summer League coming up at the end of the week. But right now we're going to talk free agency. I appreciate Ace coming up. And now we've got Alex Brown. I think this is your boy, Mike, right? So bring him up.
What's up, Mr. Brown?
What's up? Okay, so two things. Number one, what do y'all think? I think Will Barton just signed with the Denver Nuggets on a
Barton is a two-year contract with the Nuggets.
What about Justice Winslow? His option didn't get picked up. What about possibly picking him up, maybe moving Daniel House for like a second round pick? And then what do y'all think the Rockets starting lineup will look like next year, both first and second team?
Ooh, man. Jeremy, you want me to take that one?
Go, you're up first. You're up first.
I like Justice Winslow as a project. I think he's from the area. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, Justice Winslow is from Houston.
Yeah, he's a Houston kid. And potentially, I think he could be a nice piece off the bench for this team. What do I think of the starting five? Ultimately, I think John Wall still gets moved before game one to the Clippers. I think your starting five night one will be Kevin Porter Jr., Jalen Green, Jayshon Tate, Daniel Feast, and Christian Wood. And I think your backcourt is DJ Augustine, Josh Christopher, Sangoon, Garuba, and who am I forgetting? Am I forgetting anybody? I still think they end up with another big at the end of the day. Probably a power forward. I would love to take a look at a guy like Zach Collins. I don't know what your thoughts are on him, Jeremy, but I like Zach Collins from Portland a lot. But that's my take on what I think the starting lineup looks like and what the rotation will look like. Ultimately, Eric Gordon, if he's still on the roster, is probably in that second group as well, but I think he'll be traded as well. I think Gordon and Wall are gone by night one.
Well, here's the thing about Zach Collins. First of all, Zach Collins, he broke his foot again over the summer, so he will not play in the NBA next season. Like, he could get signed, and maybe the Rockets decide, you know, hey, let's get this guy on a two-year deal. And like, you know, not guarantee it or something along, like, that's the kind of deal Zach Collins is going to have to go for in this free agency, because he's in a really unfortunate position in his career. And Justice Winslow is also kind of privy to that. You know, he's been injured probably, you know, very consistently over the past several years. And that's why he didn't work out in Miami, and it's why he didn't work out in Memphis. And that's why they dropped him before, you know, they didn't give him a new contract, obviously. So the thing with Winslow is obviously there's talent there. He's a top 10 pick. So is Zach Collins. Both of these guys are top 10 picks from their respective drafts. But the thing with them is they just can't stay healthy. And, you know, those are guys that make sense in a reclamation, you know, reclamation projects that make sense for the Rockets. But at the same time, the best ability is availability, and that is, you know, that's still important even for a team that's bound for the lottery again. Like, you do need guys that are going to be available for you so that you can, because the thing is, I don't think the Rockets are trying to, you know, stock up on a bunch of reclamation projects and go for, you know, another lottery pick. I think that they're trying to make the playoffs, and, you know, I'm not going to say that they're going to make the playoffs, but you might as well try. I think this lineup has enough talent to where you at least try, see what happens when you get into the season, and then go from there. You know, obviously, like, the Rockets tried everything they could to contend as long as they could, and then once the wheels fell off, they you know, they made their bed and they laid in it. So my opinion about this is, with John Wall, you're going to have to attach a positive asset to John Wall's contract. And to me, it's not worth giving up an asset attached to John Wall at this point. Now,
so what are you going
to
do? You just want to buy him out?
No, you can't buy him out. Tillman Fertitta would never agree to buy out with John Wall, at least not right now. But also, John Wall is the kind of guy that you have to play. Like, you can't just sit John Wall. That's just not, like, what you do. And the thing is, it's going to be harder to trade him the more time you waste, the more the worse his value gets, in my opinion. You have to play him a little bit in order to possibly, you know, get some kind of reclamation for him to be able to trade him next year. And the thing is, next year, you're still going to have to attach probably a positive asset, but you hope that at least some of the assets you drafted this year are going to be good enough to where you feel like you can, you can surrender an asset. So I believe that John Wall is going to be the starting point guard at the beginning of next season, should he stay healthy, along with Kevin Porter Jr. at the two, Jalen at the three, and then I personally think it's going to be Jayshon Tate at the four, and you know, Christian Wood at the five. The one person that I might swap out is Jayshon Tate for Daniel Theis, and I think that there's a chance there because Daniel Theis just adds a little bit more size, and obviously, I guess it depends on who you play night one, but I could see a scenario where they decide to move Jayshon Tate to the bench, and they look at him as a guy that can add a little bit more stability to the bench that's likely going to feature a lot of rookies. But also at the same time, that's the benefit of having Daniel Tice there, is he is a veteran and he is, you know, I think he thinks the game in a very Eurocentric way. And that's the same with Şengün. It's the same with Garuba. And I could see a scenario also where, you know, maybe you play all those guys in the second unit. And the good thing about this team and the good thing about Tice, Garuba, all of those guys, Jayson Tate, is they play positionless basketball. So you don't necessarily have to say, oh, yeah, you can only play point guard. You can only play shooting guard. Like, you can put these guys and just say, you know, go have fun and go, you know, go get some points. I also do think, though, that it's going to be very difficult to put Tice and Garuba out there and Şengün, because all three of those guys are, in my eyes, you know, not good three-point shooters. So it's going to be difficult to play more than one of those guys at a time. So I do tread with caution a little bit there. But I do think the next move the Rockets have to make is to acquire some three-point shooting. They need to get a real good... Like, remember last year? They were the worst three-point shooting team in the league for most of the season. They need to get a three-point shooter. That's their next step. And that's, I guess, the one thing that Daniel Tice doesn't bring that Kelly Olynyk does, is that outside shot. So I'm hoping that the Rockets can finally get some three-point shooting in there, whether it be Armani Brooks, whether they decide to, you know, sign an offer sheet or whatever with him, or maybe go get a guy in free agency that, you know, a couple of these guys have already gone. But get a guy that's like a low-risk, high-reward, like a Sterling Brown. That's the kind of archetype that they need for who they bring in next. Not necessarily saying it should be Sterling Brown, but they need a guy like Sterling Brown in order to help fortify the three-point arsenal that the team severely lacks.
If you had to choose between Sterling Brown or Nwaba to bring back, who would you bring
Nwaba.
Back? Really?
Yes.
Okay.
I like him more defensively, and I do think that he... I think the way that he attacks the game is important for young players, especially also because he has, you know... Both him and Sterling Brown have dealt with a lot of adversity in their careers, but I do think that Daniel... I think David Nwaba, like, had he been healthy, I think he would have been dealt at the trade deadline. I do think a contender would have bought him up, and I do think that he has more potential for that to happen this year. That's another thing, too, when you think about these free agents, is, you know, you got to sign, like, a low-risk guy, play him the first half of the year so that you can build up his trade value to gain more assets when you go into the trade deadline. Another guy that they could have gotten, Campaign, 3 years, $19 million, he's staying in Phoenix. So that's the kind of guy I think that you need to go out and get, is like a guard that can shoot the three, maybe run a little bit of point, although they have so many point guards to begin with, it's kind of unnecessary, but they need a shooter. They just need a cold-blooded shooter. Any guy, Alex, maybe is there a guy that you might think about when you think of who they could go in, who they could go out and get?
As far as shooting, I don't have anybody off the top of my mind.
Who's on the top of your mind? And just any guy.
I mean, I'm on the Justice Winslow train right now, because I'm not a big Daniel House fan. So
I'll give you a name, Jeremy.
Go.
Your boy Doug McDermott from Indiana.
Doug McBuckets.
Doug, I'm overrated. McDermott is out there. If you want to go.
That's the thing, though, is his contract is going to warrant more than who he actually is. In my opinion, he's going to be an overpay. Who no matter who gets him.
Okay.
I don't think that should be the Rockets, because the thing is, Doug McDermott is the kind of guy that will need to be played, and because he's going to make so much money. And you have to play him, and he's going to take away some playing time from guys that really should be playing.
Well, that's the tough thing here, man, is like, we talk about these free agents that we want to go after, and the looming thundercloud over this roster is Eric Gordon and John Wall. Because everybody is so excited about the youth of this team, and that we just want to open it up and let them run, and let them, you know, run and gun, basically, for lack of a better term, right? And it's like, if you trade John Wall, you're going to have to take back pieces. Now, the question is, what do you do with those pieces? And how do you construct this roster? And I think that they're in a really, not uncomfortable spot, but it wouldn't shock me if they don't do anything else outside of Tice. Like, because they have to look at this and they say, okay, if we trade John Wall, I think he's going to the Clippers. I think it's inevitable he will become a Los Angeles Clipper. And you're going to have to take back probably Morris, probably Beverly. You want to talk about shooting, I would take back Luke Kennard.
No, right, absolutely not. Get him away from my team.
Why? He's exactly what
at 16 million a year? Absolutely not.
Well, you're going to have to take back some...
I'd rather have John Wall. I'd rather have John Wall at that point.
What about Gary Trent Jr.?
He's staying in Toronto. I would love to have him, but he's staying in Toronto.
But wait a minute. Hold on. Why would you rather have... Yes, does his contract suck? Absolutely. But you're going to have to take back salary in this deal. Luke Kennard actually makes a ton of sense for this roster.
But the thing is, Mike, is...
Coming off the bench, and it frees up playing time for KPJ and for... not frees up time, but it allows KPJ to become the point guard of this team. You described the starting five for this team. That's criminal to this
I team. Think what, the thing is...
Jalen Green is not a three. Jalen Green is your two.
Jalen Green should be a two, and KPJ a one. But the thing is... At the end of the day, you have to decide for yourself, you know, should opportunity knock? And do you take it? And it just depends on what the Clippers are offering at this point. The thing about Luke Kennard is he has a 4-year contract, $64 million. So you're going to have to pay him $16 million. He's going to become a headache. Like that, like John Wall's contract is a headache, but at least the headache ends in 2023. With Luke Kennard, the headache ends in 2025. And although it might not be a migraine, like John Wall's contract, it's a bad one, but it's a quick one. Versus you have Luke Kennard, who's a medium one, but it's a longer headache. So it's like, what would you rather have? Would you rather have a, like, rip the Band-Aid off real quick, or do you want prolonged pain? Personally, to me, I like it when you rip the Band-Aid off, and John Wall's a better player than Luke Kennard.
He's a better player, but you're talking about more than double his salary.
I think...
It makes more sense for your roster, based on what we're talking about. You said you want a shooter. There's not a ton of shooters that are gettable at this point. Trading John Wall to the Clippers for that package with Beverly, Kennard, and Morris, you get size with Morris. You can stretch the there's another shooter. You're getting two shooters in that, and you're bringing back Beverly, which would allow you to move DJ Augustine at the deadline for an asset, like you talked about, to go to a playoff team. That's three wins in a row right there, and you start building your core that much more. You probably move Morris again at the deadline too, but you're improving your team while also getting rid of a headache, which is John Wall, because he keeps going to Instagram talking about leaving, wanting to become a Clipper. Fine, bro. Go. Bye. See ya.
If only it were that simple. The thing is, I think it's going to be very difficult to move John Wall. Like, it's... like. The Clippers are probably the one team where it might make sense to go and trade John Wall to, but it takes two to tango. The Clippers are also going to have to jump in on this. As we see, TJ McConnell, 4 years, 35.2 to the Pacers.
Wait, what?
TJ McConnell?
He's getting paid more per year than Cameron Payne. That's absurd.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
He's good.
Okay, TJ McConnell is not good.
He is good.
He's serviceable.
His stats are not worthy of that, but he's more than his stats.
Who would you rather have for the next 3 years, TJ McConnell or Cameron Payne?
TJ McConnell.
TJ McConnell.
I would take Cameron Payne.
TJ McConnell.
Okay. Yeah, come on.
I mean, Cameron Payne had a good playoff run. He did, but I think TJ McConnell is a better player right now.
3 years, $19 million for campaign. That's a steal.
That is a really good deal, I think. That's a very good team-friendly deal for the Pacers, the Suns right there. But I will say this. With John Wall, I think, Mike, you present a really, you know, you present the right argument for why you should trade John Wall. Look, should the Rockets try to trade John Wall? Yes, because he is a headache for this roster. But what I'm trying to get at here is if you're gonna give a headache away, you have to take one in return, and it might not necessarily be worth it for the parties to, you know, just take it on. And in reality, the way that I see the Rockets working is this: The Rockets have 2 years to really get their team together. You know, draft your guys and start developing them for 2023, 2024. That is the first year, I believe, that the Rockets have a legitimate chance at not just making the playoffs, but like winning a playoff series. That will be the third year for Jalen Green. It'll be the fourth year in the Rockets, in his Rockets career for Kevin Porter, fifth year in the league for him. And those are the guys that you're seeing that are winning in the NBA today. You know, Jason Tatum is a star in year four. You know, Luka hasn't won a playoff series yet, but he probably should win one here in year four. Trae Young is winning one in year two. That is, you know, ahead of schedule for him. He is probably more likely to be more successful when he gets to year four, year five. That is the timeline for this Rockets team. With John Wall, that it coincides with him leaving the Rockets. You will no longer have to pay John Wall after 2023. And you don't need to give away assets for John Wall because you don't know if you're going to need these assets. Like, let these rookies play. See if they actually have a chance of, you know, being what you think they're going to be. And if they are, then that's great. Then you have more of a reason to trade John Wall because you don't need the assets. Like, you can probably trade a 2022 first or a 2023 first rounder. So though, that's what it's going to take to get rid of John Wall. And the thing is, I don't think Rafael Stone is comfortable yet giving up those assets because he doesn't know what this draft class, his first real draft class, is going to do for him. And once he figures that out, though, hopefully we'll figure out within, you know, a season, I think it's going to make much more sense to trade John Wall a year from now when he's on an expiring. Teams are going to be much more interested in taking him on as an expiring contract versus a two-year, almost $90 million or over $90 million. Like, 290 is a lot more scary than a 147. And yes, he's, you know, and the thing is also is you play John Wall, he plays well, and you hope he plays well at least. And that, you know, gives that lets people know, okay, so even though he's in his 30s, even though he's coming off of all these injuries, he still is a guy that you could benefit from.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that, but again, I just think it's criminal to the development of Jalen Green and Kevin Porter.
But we don't necessarily know that yet, though. That's the thing, is we don't necessarily know if that's true or not. We assume that it could be, and yes, it could be very very detrimental, but the thing is, we're only talking in hypotheticals because we're in the off season. Once we get to the actual season, once the season begins, once we know the minutes configurations of everyone and how Silas is going to work these rotations and all, we'll see if it's actually hampering the development of these guys. The one guy that I really do think it could hurt is Josh Christopher. But I do think once you send away DJ Augustine at the deadline, then you'll have room for Josh Christopher, I think, to take that second unit backup point guard role. And hopefully he can run with it. That's kind of my thinking with Josh Christopher is he'll start the year in the G League. He'll get reps in the G League. And like, I think people don't realize how good Josh Christopher can be. And I think he's kind of like the footnote of our draft class. But I think people forget he was the 11th ranked prospect coming out of high school in his yeah. draft class. The number he is like, and I think the Arizona State misused him. I think that I think if he played for a different school or if he went to the G League, maybe he would have had a more successful year, more eyes on him from scouts, and maybe he would have been drafted higher than 24th. But I think when it comes to these guys, is they do need opportunity. But as you saw, like it's funny how things work because in the off season it feels like, oh my god, how are you going to play all these guys? But as the season goes on, it's like, remember, like the Rockets had like five or six games where they were like, who's going to even play for this team? Like, injuries happen, you know, players, you know, go in and out of the lineup, and eventually you're going to have to find and eventually minutes will, you know, show up for these rookies. And another contract coming in, 5 years, $90 million. Duncan Robinson is staying with the Miami Heat. Very interesting.
Oh, good Lord. I mean, I like Duncan Robinson, but that's I mean, it's better money than Luke.
I don't think that's an overpay. I think that's...
No, it's about...
Look, I think, I'll say this, right now it's not an overpay, but when you get to year four or year five, it might feel like one.
Right, and to touch on what you were talking about before, I don't disagree with any of that, right? But you and I both know, the three of us know, everybody listening to the show right now that watches Rockets basketball, we all know what John Wall can't do. He can't play off at the ball. He's not a great off-ball offensive playmaker. In order for him to be somewhat, decent, he has to have the ball in his hands, which means you're taking the ball away from Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr., which doesn't make any sense at all.
And
it could have other ramifications, right? If you start John Wall with those other two, you know, what are you doing to the development of Kevin Martin Jr.? What are you doing? And before people come after me for saying that, it's their time on the court is what I'm worried about. Yes, Kevin Martin Jr. doesn't play the same position as John Wall, but if John Wall's on the court for 30 to 35 minutes a night, that's 30 to 35 minutes a night that are going to him instead of to Kevin Martin Jr. or going to Jayshon Tate or going to Armani Brooks. Like, that doesn't gel with the philosophy of what the Rockets just did in this draft and the signing of Tice. Like, the signing of Tice shows that they want to develop this roster and what they have, and done correctly, this is a playoff team next season. That's their ceiling. If everything goes right, it's a playoff team. Are they a playoff team if they hang on to John Wall? Not a shot in hell. They're just not.
And the thing is, that's when you have to, you know, put John Wall's feet to the fire and say, hey, like, John, you know the situation we're in. Like, we are a rebuilding team. Our future is with, you know, Kevin Porter and Jalen Green, and we're not going to bench you because we do think that you can provide a lot on the court as well as off the court. But he needs to understand that. And like, and if John, I'm sure John Wall has probably voiced frustrations and been like, you know, hey, trade me if you don't want to play me. And if that's the case, well, the Rockets shouldn't just panic trade him. Like, you don't just trade him for nothing. You know, you got a lot for him. So I do think John Wall understands the situation. He's not stupid. He understands why they are the way they are right now. So, and he needs to sign up for it. Otherwise, he needs to negotiate his own buyout, or he needs to, you know, play well enough for a little bit so that a team can actually, you know, want to trade for him despite his contract.
Yeah. And that's what he needs to do. He needs to be a soldier here, and he needs to come in and do right by the Rockets and say, look, do what's best for you guys. This is what I would like to happen. The Rockets last year now have a solid track record of doing that. You know, like P.J. Tucker went to the Rockets and said, trade me to A, B, C, or D. So did James Harden. Like, it's not difficult to... it's not hard to read the tea leaves there.
Yeah.
Of what the Rockets would do.
Mike.
Yep.
Doug McBuckets going to San Antonio. 3 years, $42 million.
Disgusting. Well, are you kidding me? They gave him $42 million.
14 a year.
That's unreal. That's so stupid.
You know what? Just signed an extension for 5 years, $170 million.
Torrey Craig, 2 years, $10 million to Indiana. That's a decent signing. Okay. I'll go on record right now. I'd rather have Torrey Craig than Doug McDermott.
Sorry. For that money, I'd say yeah.
Yeah, 2 years, $10 million for Torrey Craig versus 3 and 40. What is San Antonio doing?
San Antonio is tanking.
That's awful.
That's San Antonio is the one team that I feel confident that the Rockets can be better than next year. That's it. Like, there is not another team that I can for sure currently say the Rockets will be better than them next year.
I think
Zion is the best player out of the two teams, and I don't think that you can necessarily say that for sure. It'll be interesting to see what they do in free agency. Obviously, them losing out on Lonzo is going to be difficult, and I think New Orleans is still a little bit better. You guys have to realize, like, the Rockets were the worst team in the NBA, and it wasn't that close. Like, there was a considerable margin between them and everyone else. And speaking of former Rockets, Chris Paul, He's staying in Phoenix. 4 years up to $120 million. He'll be 40 years old when this deal ends. Yeah. So, I mean, the thing is, like, Chris Paul declined, what, $44 million in that last year of the deal? But he's getting paid $30 million for each of the next 4 years.
That's it. You know what? I got to give Phoenix credit, though. That's a good deal for Phoenix.
I don't think so. I mean,
but to get him and Cameron Payne to stay.
Yeah, but it's exactly the same situation that the Rockets were in when Chris Paul's last contract was up.
Well, they had to do it. They don't have another choice.
Exactly.
Because
and
anybody else that they sign, they automatically take a step back. And I'm saying good for Phoenix recognizing the rest of that roster, saying, yeah, we're probably going to be paying you in the third or fourth year for time that, you know, you're underperforming that contract. But they had to do this. This is the only way they were going to get him to stay.
So here's an interesting question. Was the Chris Paul deal worth it?
Which one, the Rockets?
The one that he got when he was last a free agent. Was that a good deal or not? At the end of the day, all things considered. The one he got. It doesn't matter who. Like, was he worth the contract that he got?
Well, the contract that he's currently on, yeah, he's worth it because he helped lead his team to an
NBA. Well, what about finals. So you think that the deal that he got from the Rockets was worth it? Was worth the production that he put on the court?
I think it was worth it for Phoenix because they got a guy that helped lead them to an NBA Finals, yes.
But not necessarily for Houston and OKC. That's fair.
Well, not for the Rockets.
Yeah, and he underplayed that contract so badly that he was out in a year.
But it was also the Rockets. It's not his fault. It's the Rockets' fault for A, giving up on that core way too soon, number one. And number two, they traded him for an asset that ultimately landed them a negative asset again in John Wall.
That was then and this is now. Forgive me for bringing that up. Yeah, but as we come into the home stretch here, so what are we thinking about what's next to come for the Rockets? Obviously, you know, Sterling Brown's a free agent, Armani Brooks free agent, you have David Nwaba, and the Rockets could bring back one or some of those guys. Maybe they choose not to let any of them come back. There's a lot of uncertainty there, I think, with the Rockets. So, Mike, what are the tea leaves showing you at this point?
What are the tea leaves showing me? I think Gordon will be traded in the next 7 days.
I don't think that's gonna happen.
I don't have any personal information that I'm breaking news here. I wish I did. I think he will be gone in the next 7 days. Is my first thought. My second thought is, dude, I don't know of any other signing that's going to take place outside of what happened with Tice.
I think that,
if they get a shooter, it's Armani. I think it's Armani Brooks to a multi-year deal that's team-friendly. I think outside of that, they also have Kyrie Thomas, who's coming back next year, too, who's also under contract.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that they're going to trade Eric Gordon because I do think they shopped him at the draft and they did not get what they were looking for.
But I also think there are teams out there that weren't willing to pull the trigger on an Eric Gordon type of deal because they wanted to see what happened in free agency. You know, does Indiana take another look at an Eric Gordon deal now that McDermott is gone? Yeah, you replaced him with Torrey Craig, but if you're Indiana, let me ask you this, Jeremy, would you not do a deal of Doug McDermott for Torrey Craig and Eric Gordon?
Doug McDermott and Torrey Craig?
No. Doug McDermott for Torrey Craig and Eric Gordon.
That's not going to happen, though.
Well, the Rockets would get back a player of less significance. I'm talking about just overall. Like, they lost McDermott. They signed Torrey Craig. Now they have the opportunity to get a guy like Eric Gordon. If it costs them a minimal player and a draft pick, would you not do that deal if you're Indiana, is my question.
I think Indiana the Rockets had several conversations with Indiana. It was constantly reported that they were talking with Indiana about 13 and some kind of combination with it, and they said no. And I think at that point, you just kind of have to move on. And when it comes to Eric Gordon, I think you have to play him. He'll come off the bench like he has for most of his Rockets career, and hopefully he plays well enough to where a team bites at the trade deadline. I just, nothing's going to change between what happened in the draft and now, in my opinion. I don't see how that would change anything. So I think that the Rockets, what they need to do is the guys that they go out and get, maybe like you could go after a guy like maybe Nemanja Bjelica, another maybe European guy that helps the Rockets. Maybe you get maybe Garrett Temple buys out of his deal and he comes to Houston. That's a potential scenario. I doubt that happens though. Maybe you take a flyer on like a Malik Monk or a Justice Winslow, like a reclamation project. I wouldn't mind that. But the thing is, this team is almost complete. Like they have, with Daniel Theis there, I believe they are at 14 players for the roster. So that means they have one more spot on the roster and then one more two-way spot. And Armani Brooks is probably going to be that guy, I would say, is the 15th guy. So obviously you're going to bring in more guys, but to me, like, there's not really a whole lot the Rockets need to do. Like, this free agency is so much about other teams. And to be honest, like, this isn't really that big compared to what we've seen in the past. This is, like, compared to 2 years ago. And then when LeBron went to the Lakers in free agency, like, this is not that big of a free agency season, I'll say. Because there's a lot of teams that want to make moves, that have talked about it, that are like, oh, maybe Damian Lillard goes, maybe Bradley Beal goes, maybe there's some combination of all those guys. But it doesn't make sense for many teams to make a move like that right now. It's just logistics-wise, it doesn't make sense. And John Wall is again like that. So a year from now, it will be that time. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah. Before, because I know we're running short on time.
Yeah.
Is there any combination between the Rockets and the Raptors roster where a Siakam to Houston trade makes any sense?
No, I don't like that at all.
Really?
I don't like Siakam right now.
You don't like, okay. Even if it meant getting rid of Wall's contract.
Why would they do that?
I don't know. I mean, they ran a two-point guard system when they had Lowry and Van Fleet. And now that Lowry is gone, I mean, I could see that.
No.
I could see Toronto. You'd have to incentivize it. You'd have to put something else on John Wall's contract or add in some sort of other compensation. But I would 100% be open to that. Are you kidding me? I would love that trade.
I mean, yeah, look. And the way that I see it, I would love for the Rockets to be able to just, you know, magically get John Wall's contract out of the list. But this ain't 2K. This is not as easy as 2K, where if there's a contract you don't like, there's 10 trades that you can offer and you can take any one of them. It's not like that in the real world. I'm sorry. It's just not. Like, if you have a bad contract, more often than not, you have to suffer the consequences. And the Rockets have been in this, you know, hole since they got Chris Paul in that bad contract. That was a bad contract at the time. That contract led to Russell Westbrook. That Russell Westbrook contract led us to John Wall. And here we are. And, like, I do think that, and most teams, at least most bad teams, have bad contracts. That's part of the reason why they're bad. It's because they don't have enough money to be able to pay, you know, enough good players to play for their team. So that is a big reason why the Rockets are where they are. And look, of course you want to try to move John Wall's contract. They definitely tried. And they've definitely tried to move Eric Gordon's contract, because both those contracts are negative contracts, and they overall, you look at the team as a whole and you would think if this guy was not here, the team could possibly be better. So of course they've tried to, but I think that they've tried to already and they've been unsuccessful. So that's why they went into the draft, they got their guys, and they are happy with who they got, and they'll make it work. The talent will rise to the top. You got to realize that only five guys can play on the court at a time. So I think the Rockets are, I think the Rockets roster is going, the way it looks today is going to be very similar to what it looks like on opening night. There's just not a whole lot of flexibility with the current state of the roster. It's just not. Now, during the season, I'm sure the roster will change tenfold. I do think that Daniel House will get moved at some point during the season. I do think DJ Augustine will get moved at some point during the season. That'll free up playing time for guys like KJ, for guys like Jayshon Tate, for Josh Christopher, and then that's when you get those guys playing as your core, as the way that you intend it to be for the future, and that is when your value increases. But I don't think that you can really play, like, I think if John Wall and Eric Gordon could have been traded, they would have by now. That's my thinking.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's fair. And to put a bow on it, man, like, I'm just so ready, and so is the rest of the fan base, that we're just ready for that next step.
Yeah. Like, because we're so excited. We love all the draft picks they had. We would love to see them just play. And that's what we're going to get in Summer League. So we'll definitely, you know, get that for Summer League. But before we go, Mike, it's your time. Mike, drop. You got a minute. Talk about anything you want. Floor is yours.
Oh, man. The mic drop for today centers around the idea that the Houston Rockets are going to be the worst team in the league again, because I have news for all of you out there who are riding up 2022 mock NBA drafts, who have the Rockets slated in. Every single one of you have the Rockets with the number one pick because you think we're going to be the worst team in the league. And I got news for you. The Houston Rockets now have a backcourt in Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr. that is ready to dominate the entire league. You have young, quality talent and Kevin Martin Jr., you've got Christian Wood, you've got Jayshon Tate, you've got Sengun, you've got the best defender in the draft in Garuba. Every single person who is listening to this right now, I make you a guarantee that if the NBA does the tournament, the play-in tournament next year, at minimum, the Houston Rockets will be a part of that, if not one of the top eight teams in the West. If Coach Silas does as good of a job is coaching the roster as he did last year individually, not necessarily as a team, because the wins weren't there every single night, but the amount of injuries that team had to deal with, that team was dealt a raw hand. And I'm telling you this right now, barring injuries, the Houston Rockets will at minimum make the play-in tournament for next season, if not be a top eight team in the Western Conference. This turnaround will not take 3 years. It will take less than one, because this team is going to ball next year.
I wish I had your level of optimism, Mike. I usually do, but it's not on this one. When we're 15 games under 500 next season, I'm going to bring this back up. But for now, I think this is a good place to park the rocket ship. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to this episode of The Dream Take. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at The Dream Take and at DreamShakeSBN. You can head to our website, www.TheDreamShake.com, home of all things Houston Rockets on SBNation.com. Check out all of our content throughout the month of August. We've got a lot of free agency talk. We've got a lot of summer league action. Super excited for the first summer league in 2 years. And actually, we get like legitimate players that are going to be playing for us next season on this team. I want to go for the summer league championship. If we go for the summer league championship, Mike, we are going to have a parade. I think we should host our own parade, championship parade, and we can just bring everyone on board, and, you know, we can, you know, celebrate with, you know, a local beer company that wants to sponsor us. That'd be awesome. So, you know, maybe we can get that worked up. I know you're the beer guy out of the two of us, so maybe someone will hit you up. But again, feel free to follow my co-pilot on Twitter, Mr. Michael Brown, at
BSW_MB.
You can follow me on Twitter at Jeremy Brenner. That's JeremyBrenner. Thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode of The Dream Take. And until next time, go Rockets!